Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
This morning I want to speak to you from the book of John, chapter 15. This is a very well-known passage of scripture here, John 15, and we're just going to read through it and we're going to have a conversation about it. Is that okay? Too bad. You're hearing it. No, I'm joking. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. He wears vines. No, that's not true. Let's read on. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So Jesus here is speaking to his disciples. They are gathered and this is the Last Supper teaching. This is it. They're sitting around the Last Supper table. So this is really one of Jesus' last opportunities to share and to download stuff to his disciples. This is an important conversation. If you knew you're about to go away and you pulled your closest friends together, you would have some important things to say, wouldn't you? This is it. This is Jesus with his closest friends, his disciples gathered around this Last Supper table, and he is giving them this teaching. Maybe there's more in this than just another metaphor about a tree. He chose this time, this discourse, this message must have been great value and importance to Jesus to choose this moment to speak to his closest disciples. He declares that he himself is the vine. Say, he is the vine. And his Father, God, is the vine dresser. In a few verses later, he says that we are the branches, not just Jesus' disciples then sitting around that table, but us now grafted in too as the body of Christ. We are the branches. So the illustration Jesus uses to describe the role of himself, his Father, and us is a grapevine. Interesting, isn't it? Who's ever tried to grow a grapevine? No? No one? A few people? Oh yeah, I see those hands over there. I once worked on a vineyard. It was like one of my random school holiday jobs. Did anyone have those? Because I grew up in Emerald in central Queensland, there was a lot of farming opportunities. So every school holidays, I got to work and earn some cash because my parents promised me, much to their disappointment later on, that they'd go me halves in my first car. So I was like, you're on. So I was on constantly double time. It was like every job I had was like overtime. Does anyone understand what I'm talking about? Amen. I think they regretted it later, but anyway, that's another story. But so one of the jobs I had was working on this vineyard and for school holidays, and you know, they would come through and they would cut out, this is after the harvest, they would cut out all the excess branches, and then our job was literally go through and pulling vines off like the trellis. That was it. I know it's very complicated. It took about 5 minutes of training. It was walk through these rows and rip them off, and we got a couple of cents per vine that we did. That was it. And it was like, awesome. So I went through and did that. So I know a little bit about a vineyard or a vine plants, but not too much about grape vines. But Jesus chose this analogy, and I think it's a very, very interesting one that hopefully we all learn something as we unpack it today. Jesus is the vine, the true vine. A little bit earlier in the Gospel of John, in John 14:6, Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus here is saying that I'm the truth, but also he says later, I am the true vine. Do you know that you're gathered here, not just because you, not just because you naively follow what your parents told you, not just because you naively follow or heard a message or responded at a youth camp. You're here because you found the truth, I hope. Because we believe that Christ is truth, that there is nothing more true than God himself. He is the truth. Jesus is the vine, the stem, the root in this analogy. He's the center. Jesus is the center. Jesus was about to leave his disciples knowing this, that they would be tempted, knowing that they would go back to their pre-Jesus way of living at the risk of losing their connection to the vine. We must ensure that Christ Jesus remains central to our lives. He is the root. The branches grow from the vine. But they grow out in different directions from the center, from Jesus. The vine is a creeping plant. Who knows that? This is God's plan, that the branches would grow out in different directions for a few reasons. One, so that the branches could reach into different areas, that they could reach into different cultures, into different people groups, and into different situations. But also that as they grow out, they have more room along the vine to produce more fruit. We are called to be fruit-bearing branches. So this means that there's room for differences in the branches because they're called to go different ways. The branches go different ways to create more room for more fruit. So there's different denominations is okay. Different expressions of the church is okay. It's a good thing because they're called to go from the base of Christ out into different areas and situations in our world. They're called to reach people that we're not called to reach, and that's a good thing. The role of the church, different denominations of churches, different expressions, different limbs of the vine producing fruit in different areas. This is a good thing, provided we're all connected to the one vine. If Jesus is central, can I encourage you? You're in a good church. If Jesus is central in your life, you're in a good place. Amen? There's room for differences. You see, God is the one who planted the vine. God is the one who waters the vine. God prunes and trains the vine. He is the vine dresser. The vine dresser. It's a really, really cool analogy, and I've lost it in my notes here. God is a vine dresser. What is a vine dresser? It's one that prunes, one that cultivates and trains the vines. So after we would go through, someone would come through and chop all the branches. We would go through and pull them all off. And then the next team that would come through would be the wrappers. And, you know, you had to be skilled to be the wrappers because very important job once again. How funny is the process? So the harvest would come through, all the grapes would be off. Then the pruners would come through and they thought they were better than us because they had an easy job just with a pair of secateurs. And they'd cut off the branches that they thought we didn't need. That was their job. They just walked through, cut off. And they got paid the same as we did. We're doing all the hard work here. And then we'd pull off all these old dead vines and then the wrappers would come through. I eventually got promoted to the wrapping team, just the humble brag right there. But we would come through and we would, you know, across the wire and we literally just wrap the vines around the wires so that they could grow in the direction that they had planned. Do you know that it's the will of the Father to wrap us in directions that he wants us to go? We're connected to Christ because he is the root of the vine, but God planted it, God waters it, God gives it everything that it needs to flourish, and he leads and guides us in the way that we should go. God is the vine dresser. He prunes it. We don't like that sometimes. I know I don't. I like my attitude sometimes, God, because it makes me feel justified in what I do. But too many times in my life, he comes and he sort of prunes that off, and it's like, but I had a right to be offended, God. And then all of a sudden, I lost my right because he cut off the branches and it fell to the ground and withered, like the parable says. Do we allow God to come into our lives and to prune us back? But there's purpose behind his pruning. Do you know that if we left these vineyards unattended, that they wouldn't be as fruitful as they are when tended? Like literally cutting off old branches and removing it made room so that they could be more fruitful. Do we allow God to prune things in our life with the objective that he wants to see us flourish? He's a good father and he wants good things for his kids. Let's read on verse 3 in John 15. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You, the disciples, a disciple of Christ, are already clean. Other translations say are clean and pruned. How are we clean, or how are the disciples clean? The disciples were clean for two reasons. Two reasons quickly, I want to digress and explain this to us. But it's also the two reasons that we are clean. We are clean for two reasons. Number one, because we believe. We are saved by grace through faith. So that means that it's the grace of God that draws us to repentance. Amen. But then it's our faith, it's our belief in that process that allows us to be clean. We are made clean by believing. That is sanctified by the truth of Christ. By faith, we receive the word of Christ, and believing it purifies our hearts. The Spirit of grace, by the word, cleans us from the world and from the flesh. Believing the word. What word? There's lots of words that we could believe, isn't there? Which takes me back to John. We're reading the Gospel of John. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Skip down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So wait up. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then later on, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Can I encourage us? We are called to be believers of Jesus. He is the Word became flesh. He is the central part of our message. John states his gospel, starts his gospel with this revelation. But we need to start our relationship with Jesus, our Christian walk, with this revelation. That he's the Word. That God, you say it, and I will follow. He became flesh. We believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. We believe that he took humanity's sin and shame to that cross. Can I get an amen? Amen? We believe that he rose victoriously. Amen? We believe that because of the completed work of Christ, we are cleansed. Do you believe that? Amen. We believe that we now have access to a life of purpose and meaning through relationship with Jesus. Amen? At that point of salvation, you receive the Spirit of Christ. Do we believe that one? So that means that it's an opportunity for us to be made whole in him. So my spirit on the inside of me is cleansed, yet the outside, my flesh, my life in this world is not. So I have this battle whether I choose to go my own way or whether I choose to listen to his spirit that's at work within me and live according to his plan and his purpose for my life. If you don't know Christ yet, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this service to get to know him. At that point of salvation, you were made whole, you were clean, you were redeemed, you were saved by what? Believing in what Christ has already done. The second reason we know that we're clean is that we allow Christ or Jesus to wash us. You see, John 15 is, this is a big revelation. John 15 is after John 14. And John 14, this is another big revelation, is after John 13. Wow, I know. Top of the class right here. No, but two verses earlier, Jesus washes his disciples' feet, doesn't he? John 13:3, Jesus knowing that the Father, this is the same moment. This is the same Last Supper meeting. Jesus is sitting at the table. He leaves the table to go and wash his disciples' feet. And then he continues on his teachings, what we've been talking about. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter. Everyone say Peter. There's always one, isn't there? Peter says to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. In Peter's revelation, he says, oh Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I love this, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and that Christ was about to go back to God, knowing his authority, he chose to become low and wash the disciples' feet. His disciples already believed, well, I can speak for 11 of them. His disciples already believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised King, the Savior of Israel. He was the one. So they already ticked the first box in my clean analogy here. They believe. 11 out of 12, as far as I know. Not sure. But they'd already believed, but then they needed to be washed, which is an interesting thought. He chose to become low to wash the disciples' feet. His disciples already believed that he was the Messiah. They were already believers, yet Jesus washes them. This is so humbling. Peter's response was what was warranted. Like, I'd feel a bit awkward. I went to a wedding once. Well, actually got to conduct the wedding. And they did a foot washing ceremony. Have you ever been to one of those weddings? No, it was different. I won't tell you who it was because they're part of our church here. But anyway, so I was at Dan and Courtney's wedding and, awkward. No, I'm joking. It's fine. They're cool. And they did a foot washing ceremony, and they sort of had like a bit of a speech from their granddad, and it was this beautiful moment. But to be honest, for everyone else that wasn't involved in the foot washing ceremony, do you know what it was? It was a little bit awkward. Can I get an amen? Like, how do you, like, this is on a formal event. How do you wash someone's feet at a wedding and look cool doing it? I think that's pretty impossible. Like, you got legs going everywhere. You're trying to, like, it's just awkward. But do you know what it was? It was a beautiful picture that in that relationship, in that covenant relationship that they were entering, nothing was off limits and nothing was grossed out and nothing was unclean and nothing was impure. And they were there, they said, hey, you know what? I'll wash the grossest parts of you. But what's so funny? I don't know if I'm getting in trouble by my wife or not. But that's what Jesus did. We're talking the Middle East, sandals, dust. Like, I'm talking filthy feet here, people. Jesus leaves the table, gets down and washes it, and he says, hey, if I don't wash you, you have no part of me. You know that we all need to be washed sometimes? And it's such a humbling experience to allow Christ into those gross areas of our lives, those areas that we try to hide, those areas that we try to cover up, those areas that smell, or those areas, whatever it is. And we allow Christ in, and he says, hey, you know what? I'm not put off by your mess, but I'm here to make you whole. I'm here to make you clean. And just like Dan and Courtney did on their wedding day, they said, hey, you know what? I'm entering a covenant relationship with you, and I'm going to help you become clean. Isn't that what we did with Christ? At the point of salvation where we said, hey, you know what, God? I open up my life. I believe what you said you are. And from this day forward, we're going to do life together. And then Christ comes in and he washes those areas of our life, every moment, every area, even the ones that we didn't think we had hope for. I love Peter's response. He says, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Everything I touch, everywhere I go, and everything I think, wash it all, Peter's saying here. Someone needs to allow Christ to wash their hearts this morning. Someone needs to allow the Spirit of God to wash away some of the past regrets, the past mistakes, to wash away the dirt of the places that we've been so that we could know that in Him we are clean. Then he tells his disciples, go and do likewise. Wash the dirt of the past places of other people. Wash the moments of others in their world. If you're a believer this morning, you are saved. You are clean. This message is for you. If salvation is step one, the rest of the message is step two. You ready for step two? Let's read on. Verse 4, John 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide comes from this Greek word meno. Everyone say meno. Meno. I've written it how I'm supposed to pronounce it. Funny story, I did another wedding this week. All wedding stories. And it was, let me get this right. Darren Pahuturangi Prendergast. Hey man, how good is that? And you know that moment in the service, and I'm like, guys, I need you. No, I cannot spell that. Darren, her name is. I don't know. No, that's okay. And all the names were like, what's the word? They were all moldy names, but they were in like, they were so hard. And that was just an example. So I'm saying, okay, If I was to write that in English as I could pronounce it, how could I write that? So my notes, no one else could read my notes but me. It was like these randomest names in my iPad. I'm like trying to get it right and like, it was a mission. What am I saying? I'm saying that sometimes, and this is a cool thing, is that words have deeper meanings. This abide word just doesn't just mean to hang out, but it means more than that. It means to remain, to dwell, to continue, to tarry, to endure. Someone needs to be encouraged that you're enduring right now is right where you're supposed to be. To remain. The CJSV translation, that's the Caleb Joel Slatcher version translation, translates this word connected. Connect or stay connected in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit on itself unless it is connected in the vine, neither can you unless you are connected with me. To abide is to maintain connection to Christ. This is our position. This is our directive. It's to abide in Christ. Let's read on in verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. You are the branches. Tell a person beside you, you're looking branchy today. Our fruit is a result of abiding in Christ. Our fruit is a result of being connected to Christ. My first point out of these three is our connection produces fruit. Our connection produces fruit. Stop trying to squeeze fruit out. Anyone know those people? It wouldn't be anyone in this room. Surely it wouldn't be. It's probably me. But you know those people that it feels like they're so concerned about trying to be fruitful for Christ that they lose the connection and the joy of just being one of his kids? Can you take the pressure off yourself? You are not responsible for your fruit. You are not responsible for your fruit. You are responsible for your connection with Christ. And a natural byproduct of our connection to the vine is fruitfulness for him. If God planted this vineyard, then he's responsible for watering it. If Christ is the root and the stem of this, then his job is to bring all the nutrients up from the ground and to feed the branches. So our job is just to hang around, literally. To hang there as branches, and the natural byproduct is that we will produce fruit. I've seen this in my own personal life with God. It's like things that I used to get angry or used to really tick me off, all of a sudden I'm like, man, I feel like I should be angry now, but I'm not, and I don't know why. That feels a bit weird. Have you experienced that? It's God renewing our thoughts and renewing our hearts and renewing our minds. Or in moments, it's been like, wait a minute, I should be really ticked off and offended right now, but something in me just thinks I should forgive that person. That's the fruit of Christ at work in our life. And it shouldn't be a struggle and a strive, but it should be Christ's natural fruit in our life. Simply stay connected to Christ. It's connection that produces fruit. I've been guilty sometimes of trying to manufacture fruit. Anyone else? Thank you. Maybe someone else can do the salvation moment at the end of the service because I feel like I need to be the one on the front this morning. No, but you know Christ isn't blessed by our doing. He's blessed by our being. And then when we're connected with Christ, our being naturally affects our doing. I don't know if that makes sense, but it makes sense in my head, but I'll just keep going anyway. We choose connection with Christ because we trust that God has it all in control. We trust that God lovingly tends to this vine, to me, to you, to prune the things that aren't going to produce fruit, to cultivate it and to grow it along the way. And he lovingly wraps it along the way that we should go. Do you know that in my earlier days, I was so fearful that I was going to miss the call of God on my life. I was so fearful. Every decision was like a major decision and I would freak out. I would lose sleep over it going, God, I don't know whether you want me to do this or do that. Do you know what I've found out now? but I just operate by his peace. God, hey, you know what? I feel like you've given me a sound mind. You've given me a brain. God, and you've filled me with your spirit. So I'm going to make this decision, God, and I just pray that your peace would come with me. And I'll take a step. Oh, yeah, I feel peace. Cool, I'll keep walking. Or other times I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to do that again. I believe you. In my mind, I believe in your heart. I'm going to take a step. It's like, oh, no, I feel sick. Oh, what's going on here, God? Where's that peace? Oh, I don't think the peace is here. Okay, I'll try it. Oh, there it is, God. Have you experienced that? We're not going to miss God if our heart is open to him and we stay connected to Christ. That's what I'm trying to say. And we produce fruit, here's the key, in his timing. He made seasons. Maybe sometimes you've been stressing about fruit or lack of fruit in this season, but maybe this isn't just your season for fruit bearing. And that's okay. Your job is simply to remain connected with Christ, and we will produce fruit in the right environment, in the right time, at the right moment. Therefore, it's not about striving. It's about being connected to Christ. He prunes so that we can be more fruitful. Sometimes branches are not ready to hold or to carry the fruit yet. It would be spoiled, it would be wasted, it would be eaten by pests or animals, it would be on the ground. Trust the vine and the vine dresser to supply your needs. Verse 6 of John 15, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. This is the consequence of disconnection. What if in our faith journey, if we replace the language of sin with the language of connection or disconnection? Because sin is really translated anything but God's best for our life, right? Just follow me for a second. So, but what if we said, rather than trying not to sin the whole time, every decision that we made were, wait a minute, God, is this connecting me more to you? Or is this connecting me less to you? Is this connecting me or disconnecting me from your grace, from your truth, from your word? Like, it would be a lot simpler in my mind, because then it's not a matter of, okay, if the law says this, how far is too far, God? How far can I go? What can I get away with? No. That's the wrong question. Remember, Jesus amplified the law? He said, it's not only in your actions, but it's in your thoughts as well. So we need to be people that decide, hey, you know what, God? If it connects me with you, then I'm in. If it disconnects me from you, I got to leave it there. Number two, our connection is our responsibility. Our connection is our responsibility. When I'm connected, the sap of the vine, which is Christ's blood in this analogy, the Spirit of God, it flows through me. His life is in the blood. His life is in the sap that's connected to me. So the question this morning is, are my choices right now connecting me or disconnecting me to Jesus? Are my words connecting or disconnecting me? Are my actions connecting or disconnecting me? Are the use of my resources connecting or disconnecting me? Is my thought life right now, God, is it disconnecting me from you or is it connecting me to you? You cannot produce fruit by yourself. Many have and continue to try to have fruit of the Spirit, the benefits of Christ-like living without Christ. No, we need to want Christ, and the fruit will take care of itself. Take the pressure of outcomes off yourself. I've already said that. Someone needs a revelation of this today. You are not responsible for the outcomes. You're responsible to stay connected to Christ. Those that remain will produce fruit. Focus on connection. Your connection will produce fruit in different areas at different times, and that's okay. You don't need to have it all today. Verse 8, but by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Our connection positions us to produce fruit that glorifies God. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Number 3, our connection comes with benefits. We are the branches. The branches don't strive to find water, nutrients to grow. They are fed by the trunk. Connection brings access because of the connection we can ask. Do you know that you have the authority, the connection with Christ to ask? I think some of us think that we don't want to burden God by asking him for too many things. Has anyone had that thought in their Christian life? God, I don't want to trouble. I kind of know you've got like literally everything to take care of. So maybe I won't ask you for this because I know you're busy. Can I encourage you? God's God. If every single person, if 8 billion people, whatever it is, all prayed a prayer at the same time, there would be enough phone lines. You wouldn't be put on hold. God is God. You won't overwhelm Him with your asking. He's not put off by the smallness of your prayer. No, He is there and He is God. The truth is that He knows it already. And He's going, hey, come to me. I want you to bring your needs to me. This connection with Christ means that we can bring and we can come boldly into His courts. We have this connection. We say, hey, God, I need this of you right now. I need this in this area of my life. Ask for what you need. A branch draws it up from the bottom. I remember in primary school, we did a science experiment with a celery stick. Do you still do this? You know, you put in food coloring or whatever. Did anyone do that? You put a celery stick in a jar, with a splash of food coloring at the bottom in water. And the celery stick would draw up the food coloring and you could see like all the, I don't know what you call them, little tubes or veins in the celery stick change whatever color the food coloring is. That's our role in this vine, is that we would draw up from Christ so that His power would be in us, because we are the branches, He is the vine. That His grace would be in us, that His peace, you know what? You've already got access to it because it's in the vine and you're the branches. So God, right now I draw on your peace, not on the anxiety of my situation. What do you need this morning? Maybe I need some fresh joy. God, right now I hone into your joy and I draw up your joy. God, if it was your joy set before you that you went to the cross for me, then God, I have access to joy despite the situation that I'm in. Maybe it's healing this morning. God, I have access to healing because I'm connected to you, Jesus. So I draw up your healing power now and I see it at work in my life. Peace is a benefit of connection. Joy is a benefit of connection. Healing, benefit of connection. Peace, benefit of connection. As the Father loved me, Jesus says in John 15, 9, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Your joy may be full. Do you know that you're supposed to be full of joy this morning? Full of joy. Like, there's a lot of things that I've been called full of. No, I'm joking. Joy. Hey, I'm full of joy this morning, God. Why? Because I'm connected to the vine and I'm drawing up your joy and your peace in whatever situation I'm in. Our joy is full. The promise of joy, love, unconditional love. You know, that's why we can hope for our earthly relationships to last and to stand the test of time. Why? Because we can draw up His love. That self-giving love that Christ gave for us, we can draw that up and we can apply it into our marriages, we can apply it into our families, and we can apply it into our homes. Can I pray? God, I pray over this service right now. God, I pray over those in the room, God, and those that are online right now, or those that will listen or watch later on. God, I just pray, Lord, that the revelation of you as the vine, Jesus, God, that it would just connect with our spirit right now and we would understand our connection and our position as part of that. So God, we hand over any thinking right now that's disconnected us from your grace, from your love, and from your truth. And God, right now we choose to connect afresh. God, we choose to connect afresh. God, we just give you the authority, Lord, to make our lives what you want. God, right now, we repent from trying to make fruit happen on our own abilities and our own strength. And God, we give you authority. God, make us fruitful in your time, in your season, and in your ways, and in your area that you're calling us to. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.